So we're in James and chapter 3. James chapter 3. Yes, James chapter 3. This is a wonderful chapter, but aren't they all? Yes. Now, if I was to title this chapter, I would say, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yep, this is a chapter for that, for sure. So let's begin reading, and actually the first verse has to do with teachers. And many of us are teachers here in the church, Sunday school teachers. Charlotte's a teacher, and many of us have teaching ministries, and they don't have to be from pulpits or classrooms. It could actually be on the phone that you're teaching. But it says, My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So it's part of counting the cost about wanting to teach the Word of God, that the teachers are actually under stricter judgment by God. I like that. I just love the idea of being God's army, and I want Him to be my general. And I want, when He says jump, I want to say how high. And that's not saying that I'm like that all the time, but man, that's our desire. Yes, stricter judgment or no. Well, I'll tell you, my first stricter judgment experience is when I was at a church serving there before the Lord made us senior pastors of Calvary Chapel Anaheim. It's a Presbyterian church, and I usually left at 6 o'clock from the campus of the church. And it was 20 to 6, and I missed my boys. I want you to feel sympathetic for me here. So I thought, well, there's nobody here right now except the janitor. And so you know what? I'm going to go home 20 minutes early. And so I got ready, and I opened my office door and came out. And the janitor came up to me and said, Mark, I've been waiting for a chance to talk to you. I have this question. And he asked me a spiritual question. And we started fellowshipping and going for it. And when I looked at the clock after he left me, it was 20 minutes after 6. And the Lord said, You're going to leave 20 minutes early? I'm going to keep you 20 minutes after you should have gone. And man, I saw the stricter judgment right there. And I tell you, I lived in fear and trepidation of God watching me every single day since then. It's 40 years ago. And so, man, it's been good though, because I love it that He's a Father that watches over us. But this is certainly true. Now, right away, he goes into the subject of the tongue. And this is, of course, for all of us. We have to watch out for our tongues. The Bible says in the Old Testament, put a guard on your mouth. And in so many words, the Lord says, watch your tongue. And these are the reasons. For we stumble all in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, if you can keep your mouth, he is a perfect man or woman, or a more mature man, a grown Christian, if he can guard his mouth. Able also to bridle the whole body. Now, this is a huge point that the Lord makes here. If you're able to control your mouth, your whole body will be under control, and you'll be known as a mature man, a perfect man or woman. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. We just pull that bit. Well, you might. I'm terrible with horses. The last time I was on a horse, and I'll never be on a horse again, he bucked me off. And he was so big that actually the girl that worked at the stable couldn't get up on him from the ground. It's a huge horse, and he started like this, and I'm going, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. And then I was in the air, and I was headed for the ground, and I went, you know what I thought? I hope I don't get hurt too bad. Landed on my face with glasses on. I had blood here and here and on my chin, and I just laid there for a long time. I was afraid to move. to see, you know, you think about Superman. I mean, if Superman can get paralyzed from being... Anyway, I could go on and on about this, but I've decided now I'm not riding horses anymore. So, okay, so these bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Now also look at the ships, those great big giant ships out there. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the captain desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. And so the very importance of the tongue, it's a really, really an important thing. We want to talk a little bit about false teachers right now, because kind of going back to the idea of applying it to teaching, false teaching is dangerous and has led so many people astray. And so I want to give you a little scriptures on that. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Study to show yourself approved, a good workman unto God, who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And you know, the way I've found out to work on that and was given to me from a pastor's conference in 1979, I remember vividly, actually Pastor Chuck's teacher from college, when Pastor Chuck was in college, he invited him to come and speak. And the greatest thing he said was, "Get your message from God, but check it out with commentaries." And you know, it's so good to actually go to a couple of good conservative commentaries before you teach anything to other people, just to make sure you're not off the wall. And you know, you're checking yourself out with others and how they see the scripture. And it's just a good way, a little hint of making sure you're rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Don't handle the word of God deceitfully." If a teacher has a different motive, maybe they just love to have a crowd of people listening to them. If that's the motive, then the teaching is not going to be right on, because they want to tickle the ears of the people that are listening. And there's a temptation to tell everybody every week, you know, about how they're forgiven and that they can kind of do whatever they want type of deal. There's teachers like that. They're just prosperity teachers, and they don't teach the hard stuff. But we got to teach the whole counsel of God. What's the next verse say? And do it with boldness. Don't be deceitful in your teaching. Again, the consequences of false teaching are huge. One of the commentators said that really touched me on this subject is something that, you know, it just hit me as a teacher all, you know, these years I've been in it. It's like if you have some kind of pet doctrine, something that you really want to get across and say all the time, and you go to the scriptures, but you find yourself confronted with a scripture that doesn't quite agree with your doctrine, then never try to explain away that scripture. You have to include it and balance it in to say the right things. Because as we do try to explain away any scripture, make excuses why it's probably wrong or whatever, you know, and people get tempted to do that to push their pet ideas, that's dangerous, very dangerous. You can lead people astray and take them down the wrong road. So there it is. Now we're warned about the tongue here, and it says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Again, the idea that the horse goes where the, you know, the mouth goes, and sets on fire the course of nature. This clause jumped out at me the first time I read these scriptures. The course of nature. We're all born sinners. It's the truth of it. we have a sin nature that needs to be forgiven by Jesus Christ and cleansed and changing us over to his image from the sin nature. And it's just in there. And it never goes away until you're dead. Gosh, that's a terrible thing to think about. But it's just a bend that we have towards things that aren't of God. And sometimes it's really hard to drag us to prayer meetings, but easy to go to the show. You know, it's that kind of thing, the course of nature. And so it says it's set on fire, the tongue sometimes, by the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Man, that's convicting, isn't it? Ooh, sometimes you wish you didn't have to read stuff like that. But the tongue can actually be set on fire by hell. And all of us have experienced it when you lose it and you start saying things you don't mean, things from the pit. And man, afterwards you say, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that. I didn't mean that. But it just got out there. Because this guy went crazy and the emotions got over it. And man, it takes over. And so this idea is there. Now, I'd like to go ahead and actually take to you to Proverbs. We want to look at a couple of Proverbs about this subject to kind of be sharpened with these things. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 18. Proverbs 26. Verse 18. So it says here, and here's a connection with the fire. The tongue is like a fire. Fire spreads fast many times and leaves a lot of destruction. Even smoke can kill people. And so the Lord is making a very heavy point here about the fire. The tongue is like a fire and set on fire of hell. So it says, like a madman who throws firebrands. And so there's the idea of fire again. This connects Proverbs to James. God's book has all these authors. I believe it's 40 authors, 66 books, 40 authors. But it's really God, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it's so neat to find connections between Old and New Testament with certain key words. And so it says here, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Ooh, that's convicting. There's another one, isn't it? Doesn't that kind of stab you? How many times have you done that? You're so ugly. Your mother dresses you funny. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't work. And it's not good. Firebrand, a madman who throws firebrands, arrows and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Some people call it practical joking. You know, this is a practical joke. But we have to be so careful with this idea, as we are warned here in the scriptures. I remember this always comes back to me because it hasn't been resolved yet in my mind. I think about it through the years. It happened 50 years ago or more. I was a young surfer, and I had a friend, and everybody called him Pork, because he was a little bit heavyweight. And I just thought it was being funny, I guess. I was sitting in the water with him, and we were alone in the water. And I said, Pork, I have a song for you. And I got it from an old Elvis song. But and I started singing to him, and I just sang him a little song. I said, he looks like a fat man, but I got wise. He's a skinny man in disguise. And I thought that was funny. But I will never forget the look of hurt on his face that day. I will never forget it. And I was young and dumb, about 16 years old or whatever, and I just hurt him deeply with that. And I think of this scripture, the firebrands, arrows, and death. And, you know, all through our life together, He never really spoke to me again. That hurt so bad as a young man. He was really sensitive about his weight, and it was a lifelong struggle. And so just kind of a testimony from my own life, it sticks out of my mind, and we just want to be really careful. I was just joking, doesn't take it away. It just doesn't. When we speak deceitfully, we speak dishonestly, we speak down on people and tell them we're just joking. So something to think about with your tongue. We want to be sure to put a guard on that tongue. Now, the next thing's about gossip, and we're all probably guilty of gossip, where you hear something and you don't know if it's true or not, but you pass it on. Well, I heard, you know, and reputations have been ruined that way. I think even people have ended up in jail because of that kind of thing, and then later they find out they were innocent because of the DNA kind of stuff. But let me read these scriptures to you. Where there is no wood, and here's the reference to fire again. The tongue is like a fire. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, a gossip giver, strife ceases. So I have the power to build up the fire bigger and get it really going, or I have the power to not pass it on and not be a talebearer, and the strife will cease. It'll just fade away. And man, I've learned that in the ministry. If nothing else, man, I've learned about that because of the mistakes I've made through the years and how tempting it is to pass something on that you don't know whether or not it's true. And so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. In other words, there's no wood to stock on the fire. With that word, the fire will go out. And so that's a really good instruction. Is it not? Yes, it is. Well, let's go back to James now. Let's go back to James and go on here. Now, in James chapter, we're back at James chapter 3. I'm looking at 1. I got to get to 3 here. The next thing we read then is, for every kind of beast and bird, this is verse 7 of James 3, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. You know, and I began to think deeply about that verse, and that's true, isn't it? Lions have lion tamers. You've ever gone to the circus and you see the guy come out with a lion, and he has the lion open his mouth and he puts his head inside the mouth of the lion, and the lion does not bite off his head. I wonder if that's ever happened. Any of those guys ever just you know, the lion just bites his head off? But no, usually they're safe, right? Because they're lion tamers. So a lion, even the king of the beasts, can be tamed by man. Serpents, we see those snake charmers that blow their little whistles, and you know, the snake comes up and dances to the deal, and that's really something that goes on. Then birds, you ever been to the wild animal park in San Diego and go to the bird show? Oh, that's exciting. Kids love that. You go and sit in a stadium and they have birds come out and do different tricks and say different things and say smart aleck things and cause everybody to laugh, you know, and so forth. And so birds can be tamed. And even fish. Think about SeaWorld. The whales jump out of the water simultaneously and then splash the kids. And they told the kids exactly where to sit if they want to get wet, because they know where the tamers of the whales are going to have the whales come down and splash. And so it's something that's so very true. Now, I think there might be one possible exception, and that's cats. Yeah. Have you ever heard that expression? It's like trying to herd cats. And we are cat lovers. We had three cats at one time. But you know what? A cat can be sitting there and you might try to call the cat. Here, kitty, 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 that kind of thing. And they look at you like in your dreams. You know, forget it. I'm not coming over to you until I feel like it. I remember my grandfather's cat. His name was Booger. But that was my grandfather's fault because he named him. But the thing is this, he was one honking cat. I was little, so I mean, it was really honking, big. And he would sit in my grandfather's lap, and my grandfather would rock him in the rocking chair. They were very close. But don't dare try to get up too soon. Because my grandfather would have to go to the bathroom, whatever he wants, get out of the chair, and the cat, the nails go in his legs. And he was a World War I veteran, so he thought that was funny, you know. I'm going to fight with Booger, you know. And so they would have their little fights and tips. But I'm thinking, man, I don't know about cats, right? Probably somebody can tell me after the service of the cat farm you saw that where they jump through hoops and stuff. Is that true? I don't know. I thought I saw it on it. That's Impossible once or something, yeah. So even the cats can be trained. But here we are now. Verse 8, very powerful verse. But no man can tame the tongue. Good luck with that one. To try to say it, have it say the right thing every time. Man, it's just a difficult, difficult thing. And we're told clearly here in the Word of God, and He knows, no man can tame the tongue. You can tame a lion, but you can't tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now this indeed is very convicting also. So we're told very simply, no man can tame the tongue. Now, how can we work on this? How can we get better with the tongue if we can't tame it? And the answer is given very clearly in Matthew 12:33. So if you have your Bible or your computer, just press Matthew 12:33. And let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. How we can work on this problem spiritually. Matthew 12:33. It says this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And that was the example that James was using about vines and olives and so forth. And then the Lord is now speaking to the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time, and He actually calls them a name here. Wow. These cats must have been really bad. He says, brood of vipers, and vipers are snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Whatever's evil is going to say a world of bad things. How can you speak? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, and there's the key, the heart, the mouth speaks. The way I've always pictured this is there's a string on the back of my tongue and it goes straight down to my heart. And so the Lord says out of the mouth, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. And so What we do to work on the tongue is get the heart right. And when I wake up in the morning and determine in a given day, Jesus, you've got my heart, and come into my heart afresh and anew, fill me again, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit this day. Make me a blessing. And God then's got your heart. And what's going to come out your mouth is blessing to others. And you can encourage so many folk instead of bringing them down through the evil things that can be said and all the places we can go with our tongue. That's deadly poison, spreading the rumors, letting that go on. The way I've learned through the years, and I started this in the auto parts store, is I, in the back room when those guys would start with the dirty jokes, is just walk the other way. Just walk the other way. And you don't have to be cruel about it or anything. You just kind of slip away. Don't participate. And just let that go, and you continue your walk with the Lord. And that is just a way to go with this. And so I'm looking for my heart to be right before Jesus, and that's the issue. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're never going to tame that tongue, but you can give it over to somebody who can. Jesus Christ, he's the master changer, right? And he daily conforms us to his image. And the scripture says that whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things deserve praise, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Get your mind and your heart on the good things of God, what God has done, what God's going to do, and where I am with him. And your mouth will follow suit, and you'll be saying things of blessing towards the people around you and lifting people up. And that is really where we want to go. Amen? Okay, now, there is one more section in James chapter 3, and this is so good for our theme today of this chapter is how to win friends and influence people. And that's what we want to do. We want to just help people out. We want to just have lots of friends, and we just want to influence people in the right way. Amen? And so here in chapter 3, we're given something that can really help us, because we can be deceived sometimes about these things. Who is wise and understanding? This is verse 13 now, and it says this: Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in humility of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, there's bitter envy in your heart. Somehow you're just out of sorts in your heart. Again, we go back to the heart. And self-seeking, I want to get my agenda done here, so I'm going to come on strong. And self-seeking in your hearts. So back to the heart. In your hearts. If this is what's in your heart, the bitter envy or the self-seeking deal, is in your heart. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but number one is earthly. It's filled with the flesh. The flesh is in it all the way. You know, sometimes you got to say to a brother, sister, you know, right now you're really in the flesh. You need to get back to the spirit. You know, if they're just pumping out stuff, this angry stuff and stuff against people. It's earthly. Number two, it's sensual. It pleases the senses because of our nature. Again, the course of nature set on fire by hell. And so it's sensual. And then number three is the scary word. It's demonic. Yeah. It's a trick of the devil. The devil has tricked you, and sometimes even into a religious discussion that's of the flesh. because you're just pushing a point and not loving your brother or sister, but you just want to be right. And so it becomes then demonic because it's disruptive. And it says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Lots of evil things begin to happen because you're flying off the handle again. You've lost it. And you started saying things that are out of not the right spirit. Not the right spirit. But the wisdom that is from above. Here is a litmus test for us about whether something I want to pursue or say is of God. It's right here in the Bible. Test it out. Ask yourself, is it first pure? Does this feel pure? Is there a purity about it which produces peace? Then peaceable. First it's pure. That's the Lord. Then peaceable. Gentle. Let everything we say it with grace involved. Even if it has to be a rebuke or reproof, you say, bro, you know, you got this wrong. But you say it gently, and you say it with friendship, and you say it like you want to help instead of just be mad. Gentle. Willing to yield. Sometimes we just, in our hearts, we're just not willing to yield. I am right about this, and you are so wrong. And you're just going to push your point. But the wisdom from above, from the Lord, is willing to yield, full of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. We that judge another, this is Romans chapter 2, if you're judging another person in what they've done or said or whatever, it says that you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judge, because you do the same things. Isn't that the truth? Because we're so mad sometimes because we did it last week. You know, and so we have to be careful with that. So it's full of mercy, and good fruits. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, self-control. Without partiality, I really never liked you, so get ready for a blasting in the face. You know, partiality, and without hypocrisy. And actually, the word hypocrite means actor. And so you're acting out something without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. And so as we're winding up to get into a brawl or something with someone, and consider what it says here, it's very helpful. Because you can say to yourself, you know, this isn't pure. It's not peaceable. It's certainly not going to be peacemaking. And I'm not willing to yield, and there's no way I'm in a gentle mood right now. But as we take that test, then it can really help to show us where we are, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to destruction. Amen. And so we have to be careful. So again, I say a good title for this chapter is How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I want to go with that with you and accept a conviction with you. Of course, because we're all in the same boat, right? One sinner showing another sinner where to find help is what the gospel is. And so Jesus can help us all. So let's go ahead and pray about this. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for chapter 3 of James. It's very straightforward. And, Lord, it is very convicting. And we thank you that our brother James, being a pastor and a leader of a church of 10,000 people, Lord, how he, through the ages here, has reached to us this day to let us know what's up. And Lord, you're the only one that's really up. And Father, we want to take your wisdom. We want to walk in your wisdom. We want to be a person that invites through our actions and through our tongue and our mouth other persons to come to you, to be close to you, to feel safe with us. And so, Lord God, change us, Lord. Help us. Help us to keep our hearts right before you and you on the throne in our hearts. And thank you, Lord, that our mouths will be saying the right things. A word fitly spoken is like golden apples in silver settings. Thank you for that scripture, Lord. And so, Father, we pray you continue to lead us and guide us. And Lord, baptize us each day afresh in the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled every day because we leak. And so we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to go ahead and invite you for prayer. These guys love to pray. I think I say that every week because you guys are so enthusiastic about it. Yeah, the prayer room is a very inviting place. It's lit with the yellow light. It's low key. You go in there and you just pray and the peace comes, right? Glory to God. Oh, we have a testimony from the prayer room. A brother came to me last night, the service, and he said that he gets gallstones, you know? I guess they're called gallstones. And then they break them up and then they come out. And so he had prayer in the prayer room for it, and he had it done, but nothing's coming out. And he's going, I think God healed me because there's no pain at all. And so he just wanted to give that testimony about coming to the prayer room. So come on in. Water's fine, you know. So may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to lead you and guide you and give you all that you need to be good boys and girls. Right? Help the mouth be good. Oh, God bless you guys.